So we have two very powerful and incredibly moving stories in our readings today. Isaiah and his call. You hear how he stands in absolute awe in God's presence. And if you recall last week's readings, the first reading of the call of Jeremiah is very similar to the call of Isaiah this week. And Isaiah's sense of awe is dependent first of the awareness of the holiness of God, but on the other hand, an awareness of his own inadequacy. He says, "Woe to me, I am doomed. I'm a man of unclean lips." That's very close to what Peter says in today's gospel reading. He becomes aware of who Jesus is, and he just falls on his feet, and he says, "Please, Lord, depart from me, for I am a sinful man." So as I read these readings, the call of Jeremiah, of Isaiah, of Peter, I became aware of the sense of awe that we must have in God's presence. And that's what I want to talk about. That's what I want to reflect on in my homily today. So first, let me talk about the awe of God. And how do we want to understand that? I define awe of God an experience between an unhealthy fear of God and an unhealthy over-familiarity with God. Both of these extremes. I tell you, how many people have come and spoken to me personally about their fear of God. This unhealthy fear of God. I myself grew in that kind of environment. The only image I had of God was of an impartial, impersonal judge. As I grew up, the only image I had of God was this God who all day, I don't know what he did at night when I was sleeping, but I was a good boy. But during the day, all that God was busy with was trying to find my faults, my mistakes. A God who could actually recognize the good that I did, that didn't even occur to me. I never thought of myself as being good enough for God. I had the worst kind of fear of God, and it's taken years of spiritual working to get beyond that unhealthy fear of God. Now, in contrast, these days, there is the unhealthy over-familiarity with God. It's as if the saying, "God loves us as we are," means that God makes no demands on us. In fact, how dare God make demands on us? It's not like we have to undergo conversion because God is all holy. It's as if somehow God needs to change to fit what is convenient or better for me. It's like God is at my service. And so there are these two extremes, and I call awe of God a spirituality that lies between the two, between this unhealthy fear of God and this unhealthy over-familiarity with God. And I struggle with that as well, huh? I say Mass every day, and when I hold the body and the blood of Christ, this bread and wine, it's so easy for me to get so familiar with God that I lose the sense of what I'm doing. Folks, when I speak about my relationship with God, my eyes tear up. I love God with all my heart, all my soul, all I have given my life to God. But sometimes I'm just so afraid that I'm too overfamiliar. This love of God will make me so overfamiliar with God that I lose the sense of awe. So Jeremiah and Isaiah and Peter They teach us the meaning of standing in God's presence with a sense of awe. Those of you who have gone through confirmation preparation, you know the gift of the Holy Spirit, one of them is fear of the Lord. That fear is not this unhealthy fear. It's the sense of awe before God. So pray for that gift. So that's my first point. Secondly, in this year of mercy, I think we should also consider mercy from the perspective of awe of God. Isaiah and Peter become aware of God's presence, but then they also become aware of their own sinfulness. That's a story we hear, right? And at that point of their life, neither Peter nor Isaiah were terribly sinful. They were not. They were just ordinary folks. Yet Isaiah becomes aware of his inadequacy. He says, I'm a man of unclean lips. Peter says, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. So Isaiah and Peter's responses can help us in this Jubilee year of mercy. Let me just talk about that for just a minute. See, I hear many things being said about God's mercy in this year. God's mercy is unending. God's mercy is great. Yes, it's wonderful. I also hear about how we should be merciful to other people. What I don't hear is how, in God's presence, we must become aware of our own sinfulness. It's a recognition of our sinfulness, not because we may be terribly sinful people, but because God is holy. God is so awesome. In God's presence, we will always run short. And that is why we need to be aware of God's mercy. So yes, God's mercy is great. Yes, we must be merciful. On the other hand, God's mercy is essential because we will always fall short of the glory of God. In this year of mercy, let us not miss out the opportunity to really, like Peter, fall at the feet of Jesus and say, please, Lord, have mercy on me, for I'm a sinful man, I'm a sinful woman. It's very important that in this year of mercy, we ourselves recognize our sinfulness, how inadequate we are, and allow God's mercy to touch us. And thirdly, sharing the mercy of God. My third point is a continuation of my second point. See, unlike Peter and unlike Isaiah, Paul was a sinner. And he acknowledges that. He says, I'm a sinner. I'm untimely born because I persecuted the church. He actually murdered people for the sake of faith. He was a sinful man. But he recognizes that the transformation that has happened in him is because of God. So he says, by the grace of God, I am who I am. And what I'm trying to communicate in this third point is this. When I try to be merciful, there's a difference between me being merciful and me becoming an instrument of God's mercy. There's a big difference between the two. And that's what Paul is able to do. See, Paul recognizes that he is who he is because of the grace and the mercy of God. And so he's able to give that mercy to all people impartially, Jews and Gentiles alike. And that's his big struggle. He says the mercy of God is impartial. So I must give God's mercy to other people. God's mercy is boundless. God's mercy is unprejudiced. God's mercy is endless. God's mercy is just and kind at the same time. God's mercy is not dependent on who is receiving it, and God's mercy is impartial. God is merciful even towards people that we do not like. Our mercy, on the other hand, it's limited because we're human beings. For me too, it's easier for me to be merciful towards somebody I like, and my mercy is very different to somebody I do not like. And that's what I mean when I say, make sure in this jubilee of mercy, it's not merely my mercy that I'm sharing, that I truly become an instrument of God's mercy, because God's mercy is very different than my sense of mercy. So the real challenge of the jubilee of mercy is first to allow the mercy of God to touch us. And this year, I hope at some point, maybe during Lent, that we do make it to the sacrament of reconciliation, because that is where we stand in awe before the mercy of God. So first, recognize God's mercy and our own sinfulness, first. Secondly, make sure the mercy that we give to people is not merely some good feelings that we have, but it truly is the mercy of God, which is for all people, even those that we may not like. Every Eucharist is an experience of what happened to Isaiah, to Jeremiah, to Peter. Just like Isaiah, we have the opportunity to stand before our awesome God, recognize our own inadequacy, allow the mercy of God to wash over us, and then give God's mercy to those we come across. This is an opportunity. This Eucharist is when we do that. Let's do it. Let's enter into the depths of God's mystery, worship God, recognize God's holiness, and give the mercy to all in need. People of God said, Amen.